Well, great. I think I'm going to turn it over to you, Josh. It is right at the bottom of the hour, and we'll get started on time.
Perfect. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. My name is Josh Millar, and I work with the IBIS Group. We help loan originators meet productive realtors in their local markets. If you'd like to partner with experienced full-time real estate agents, go to www.theibisnet.com, theibisnet.com. Click on the join link and fill out the short, no-obligation form. We'll then contact you to help you determine if our service is a good fit for you. Also, in January, we launched a new service, our professional networking suite, which offers your own mortgage blog updated daily by our staff of professional writers, a monthly newsletter ready to send to your contact list, social media set up on the 8 major sites, including profiles on the industry sites ActiveRain and Trulia, and search engine optimization of your business website. Now, our website is being completely redesigned, so if you'd like more information and samples from the networking suite, send an email to networkingsuite, S-U-I-T-E, at theibisnet.com. We're offering the first month free for new subscribers, and we're offering a big discount on the realtor introduction service if you use our networking suite. Joining us today is the coach, Bill Sparkman. Bill has coached, trained, and motivated thousands of loan originators and real estate agents nationwide. He has been developing champions in the mortgage and real estate industry since 1987. His nuts and bolts, real-world approach to increasing performance will move you to the next level. Bill's sales and marketing ideas are up-to-date, fresh, and proven to be successful in creating results now. Today, we'll learn how to create predictable income in a slow market. Good afternoon, Bill.
Well, hi, and welcome, everybody. Thank you, Josh, and welcome to today's business building seminar. And before I forget, I just want to again say thanks to Josh Millar and the IBIS Group. Very well timed for today's topic, and a great statement they're making to help us all keep that momentum or get that momentum going again in our business. So thanks again, Josh. I think today's topic is the one thing that I have found that can take the stress out of the mortgage business. And I think that comes from being able to create predictable income. I guess we could have almost called this today a stress-relieving teleseminar, but predictable income is good enough. I think it's the roller coaster paydays and the income uncertainty that some experience in this business that really is the number one cause of frustration and stress. These are critical times, let's face it. I don't think it has ever been more important to be able to forecast your income with a high degree of certainty. Again, I think that's what I have found is the only thing that will keep us in the business over a long period of time. For most that I'm coaching and speaking to every week, right now it's just a Hail Mary pass, and that's just not good enough. I don't think to keep you motivated and engaged in your business every day. Or at least focused, and I think it starts with that. I think that sustainable motivation, let's put it that way, comes from a high level of motive. And again, when you lose that ability to forecast income more than 1 week at a time, I think that motivation begins to wane. I also believe without a predictable, let's see how to say this, without a pipeline of closable business right now, and the key word there is closable, or a scheduled appointment, really you're just simply unemployed. I mean, I don't like that, but that's the way it is. I had to look at that for myself and my loan originators every day. If they didn't have an appointment or they didn't have a predictable pipeline, it was not only unemployed, but unmotivated and stressed out. So anyway, enough of that. But I think that there's the first clue, and I want you to listen for clues today. That first clue is, the predictable income is directly related to predictable pipeline. Now, before you say, you know, well, obviously, well, yeah, it's not so obvious. That's what helps us maintain our concentration, our focus in our business. It's on, again, generating a closable business, appointments, a pipeline. So that's where we're going to focus today. We've got a short time. I want to talk about some of my structured systems and directed campaigns that are designed specifically for creating what we're talking about, that consistency of business for yourself. And I say business, but you and I, we all know we're talking about a paycheck, okay? I mean, I'm a shallow guy. What we're trying to do here is being able to get to the bank a little more often, okay, and get there to make deposits and not withdrawals. I want to talk about turning your business into an offensive lead machine instead of, as some are today, operating from an existence mode or desperation or reaction. Let's put it that way. I am a believer in offense, especially in a time like we are right now. I want to show you some ways that you can accelerate your results. Going from lead generation to lead conversion to client retention. And I think that those three are really important today. Obviously, you don't have to worry about lead conversion if you don't have any leads. So we're going to talk about better leads, better conversion, and then again, building that predictability machine, and that will come from some of the ideas that we'll talk about, as well as client retention. Now, I only want you to write, now if you're not driving, by the way, I only want you to write down the things that you're going to actually do. Does that make sense? Otherwise, just listen for a few minutes. I'd rather have you write down the things that you're actually going to take action on versus ideas. Does that make sense? Oh, here's an idea. We all got enough ideas, okay? I think that what will protect your investment of time during this particular call, and again, I'm honored. I'm sure Josh is. You had a lot of choices 5 minutes ago, and you chose to be on this call. So now let's make that worthwhile. And again, if you do that at the end of this call, you'll actually have an action list. Does that make sense? That's what will make this particular event continue on for you. Not an idea list, an action list. And I think there, again, listen for those things that strike you that will move you to action, and then jot those things down. Okay, enough of that. I want to say at the beginning, I know that we need a high level of balance today, especially between three areas of your business that I'm sure I'm going to hit on each one of these a little bit because I think they are absolutely, again, critical today. One, part of your business that's very distinct from the other two is advertising. And I think we got to remember what advertising does is all it does is promote your personal brand. That's it. Advertising is what you do to get noticed. Let's put it that way. Advertising is about promoting you and to do in our business, advertising. So a clue here, here's a nugget, in those things that you do to promote yourself, I want you to come up with thinking about what is it that makes you any different, by the way. See, advertising, its job is to separate you from the rest. Again, getting you noticed in a certain way. So what's three things that make you any different? And by the way, I think that's a fair question today. You want my loan business? Well, good. Tell me what makes you any different than anybody else. So I think that's what starts it. Why should I pick you? Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Now, for me, it's got to be centered around value and benefits. I always think of it that way. It's got to be. That's why I should choose you. Now, with the environment that we're in today, I want to make sure when I'm speaking to people. Now, you're advertising, if you do any. It should hit on that. What makes you any different? Be a little different and the rest of it. But if you're in person with somebody, I think it's a fair thing for you to bring up. Here's three things that I think that you'll find absolutely different about the way I approach this business today than some of my colleagues. You see, if you thought out that ahead of time, what are you doing? You're promoting your brand. You're promoting you. You're finding ways to do that. All right, enough for advertising. Second area of your business is called marketing. Very distinct from advertising. Don't put the two together. Marketing has one purpose. Remember, advertising promoted your brand. That's you. Marketing makes the phone ring. I don't know how else to say that. Marketing is what you do that creates leads for yourself by generating interest and action from your message. That was almost smart, so I'm going to say that again. Marketing makes the phone ring by what you do through generating leads that create interest and action from your message. If you're marketing today, spending money, and you're not making the phone ring, if that's why you're doing it, remember, if you didn't want the phone to ring, you just call it advertising anyway. So if you're not, I'd say I don't know. There's not enough interest in what you're not promoting enough interest in your marketing. There's not enough in your message. We'll be talking a little bit about passive and active strategies and campaigns. I think that those are both effective today in your marketing to get that phone to ring. And come on, I'm all for going out and meeting people every day, but I'm also very, very highly interested in passive marketing strategies that can help that inbound marketing. So that's marketing, very distinct from advertising. And the third area of your business is what I call sales. Now, and it's interesting because that third part is where you generate revenue, predictability of income, being able to forecast your pipeline. It's based on not your marketing. All that does is make the phone ring. And if it did, then that's a good job. It's revenue that we're looking at today. Bottom line, dollars and cents, and what creates revenue for every one of you on the call today, or for the owners and the managers that are on the call today. What created revenue to my firm was everyone that worked for me, and it's their sales skills. So I bring those up because advertising and marketing cost us money. That makes sense. They're the biggest drain on your business. They cost you money. Sales makes us money. So for me, it's all about converting leads, and if I can convert enough of those, that will begin to start the conversation of predictability of income. When my loan originators didn't have pipeline and did have leads, it was very easy to zoom in on the training. They had to get better at converting leads into predictable income, which is pipeline. So we'll talk about all three of those a little bit. I'm going to give you the shorthand version, the microwave version of my new book called Clear to Close, Turning Prospects into Paychecks, and we'll talk about those. But I also want to be sure that I touch on every bullet that was on the marketing flyer. I'm so tired of listening in on webinars and every other going to things, and they never even talk about what was on their marketing material. So anyway, I want to be sure that I want to give you some action items. Again, action items for each one of those bullets. And we'll just start with some of the ones that I think we have to just remind ourselves about, and that's selling techniques in this particular market. I don't really like the word slow market because some of you may be on the call today and not unlike a group I was with yesterday that said, we're killing it right now. We're crushing it. It wasn't slow for them, but they were looking at ways to balance their business, get higher returns, increase conversion rates, and the other things. So I'm just going to say it's another market, and for some of you it is slow, and we'll use these particular selling techniques. First of all, you've got to find a way to surround yourself today with people that are positive and can add to your business. Now, you might think, well, that's sort of obvious, but it's not. Absolutely, that starts with that. Every ounce of effort that I'm going to put into my business today and the selling techniques that I use is going to be supported by being around positive people. Even where you're at, the market may be slower, but it hasn't stopped. Does that make sense? It's never stopped. It never will. We're just beginning to see some of the momentum come back into the marketplace. Even some of these goofballs starting to make some positive remarks, like Bernanke, whatever his name is today. He coughed up a one-sentence line, and all of a sudden the market goes up. So we're starting to get some of that. As for those of you, again, that were on the call early, we're starting to get the input. Commissioner Stevens talking about being pro-broker and the broker channel being the cheapest way to bring a mortgage to the consumer. We need more of that. So it starts with that because I think you've got to get your head in the game. Slow market selling techniques. I'm all about conversational selling. I want you to focus 90% of your effort in selling on opening the conversation rather than closing. This particular teleseminar isn't about, as you can see, how to close more business. Well, how about how to open more business? Does that make sense? I speak to and train realtors and loan originators every day that spend so much time on a new way to close somebody that they never find a way to really open a solid conversation. So for me, is that a marketing technique in selling? Yeah, I'm going to work on opening. I say if you need to close, you opened poorly. Again, let's get on to it. Now, how do you open conversations great? Well, today, look at all the material you've got. First of all, we've got to find ways to ask the questions that help our prospect make decisions. Influence versus manipulation. Help people make decisions today. They're goofed up. We've got to find a way to do that. Those kinds of questions that you ask, I think, are important. The ones like, how soon do you want to move? What will this refinance accomplish for you and your family? What are your three top concerns for making a decision today regarding moving ahead? Besides yourself, who's involved in the decision? I mean, we know those questions, but I think we got to really zoom in on them today. Make your customer think at a different level, because I think, as we said, given that this is a series of teleseminars, I think in the last time we talked about finding ways to reveal your client's urgency, ability, commitment, and equity. Those things come from those questions. Urgency, how soon are you guys thinking to move? How soon do you want to get this thing going? How soon are you looking to make a decision? See, we have to figure that out, you know, urgency. And then the rest of them, you know, the ability, you've got to figure that out more than anything else. I've got a report that I just got done writing, 10 ways your loan can be declined with excellent credit and 20% down. 10 ways, because I'm like you. I'm tired of people saying, oh, I got perfect credit. I got a 740 credit score and a DU approval. Oh, big deal. All right. I can show you 10 ways I could get that thing turned down in about 5 seconds with a DU approval and a 740 credit score. So, again, great questions to begin to generate the ability of your customer. And again, anything that I mention like that report, if you're interested, Josh has got a copy of that. He'd be happy to share with that. I'm going to show you how to use that report a little bit later. Your competition's broadened, okay? This whole selling techniques we're using today is based on how broad it has gotten in different ways. Stalling, that's just it's always been part of our challenge for us. Does that make sense? That's not a new one. But consumer confusion. See, there it is again, consumer confusion. Another report I'd be happy to share with you is breaking news, public announcement, 5 reasons why now may be the best time to refinance. You see, that helps offset some of that buyer confusion. Consumers are confused. We've got to give them some of these things. And again, 5 reasons why now is the best time to refinance. It gives you that opportunity to educate slow market selling techniques. You're starting to get it, right? Great opening, not closing. Great conversations, more education, more tools. Now's the time to buy. Here's the 10 reasons why. All those things. You've also got uncertain economy as part of your broadening competition today. You've got things that we talked about before, mortgage payment protection. We've got things to offset that, but we've got to use those in this particular market. And then, of course, you've got broker credibility issues. Now, sorry, don't ignore it. Don't go, hey, come on, I'm still the best. I know. But what I'm saying is we've got that as a big piece of our puzzle today. So what? Stephen said one main thing. That was aimed at a mortgage banking conference. That didn't hit the consumer. Does that make sense? Because he said that, that's nice. We can all go, whew, that gives me a little hope. I mean, but we've got to figure out a way to get that to the customer today, to the consumer. We've got to give them benefits. By the way, why should I use a mortgage broker? I've heard everywhere that just go to the credit union or go to my bank or go to whatever. Does that make sense? So if that is on the table, you tell me how. You tell me what give me a benefit for using a mortgage broker today. I say that like here's 3 reasons, but I think you've got to come up with that. See, that is what will help offset broker credibility today, is showing people there are a benefit. And I think that one of those I want you to think about is you're going to need to be, or maybe you already are in your state, licensed. We've got the SAFE Act. We've got that sort of thing coming. So right off the bat, I have to have a license. There's other people in this business that don't even need to have a license. So one of the benefits that you're going to receive by using a broker today is that. Anyway, you got it. I just think it's bottom line. Find the hot button. and what it's going to take your customer to act, and then find the objection preventing them from taking any action. That's it. Benefits and emotion create action. You got to be good. And last thing on that is, no matter what you say, whatever comes out of your mouth, just figure that your customer is sitting there listening to you or looking at you, and without saying it, in the back of their mind, they're saying, so what? I always figure, you know, I kind of think of that being the point. Most people are saying, hey, use a mortgage broker because whatever, and they're going, yeah, so what? That just means you and I have to take on so what by creating some pretty good benefits. That's all. The competition's too broad today. I've got to really find a way to offset confusion, uncertainty in the economy, broker credibility, and I'll take that wet by asking great questions, being a great conversationalist, and having evidence for my customer. Done. I think there was another bullet that said how to get more done in less time. Here's the answer. You can't. Okay, first of all, there's only so – what, are we going to turn 5 minutes into 6 minutes? I don't think that that's really the point. Here's what I want you to understand, or at least consider. Let's put it that way. I really believe that your financial success today and the predictability of your future income will be very closely related to your ability to minimize your time spent with people not qualified or ready to move ahead and maximize your time with those that are. Again, you might think that's pretty obvious, but I know people every day. Would you quit talking to those kind of day? You're not going to, that's not the one, all right? I'm not looking for everybody. I'm looking for somebody. So I think you have to begin every day, every conversation, and every activity with high purpose. I don't know if you saw that movie, Hitch. Who was that guy? Will Smith. It was kind of a goofy movie, but he had a line in that movie that struck me really deeply. He said, begin each day as if it were on purpose. And I went, that's pretty good. And I think it's no more important than in our business, every day beginning every conversation, every activity with high purpose. Why are we doing that? Why am I talking to this person? He can't move my business forward, those kinds of things. And it just comes from spending the majority of your time on high-value activities that make you money, like some that we'll talk about in a minute. Spend most of your time, I'd say 90% of your time, either generating a qualified lead or closing a loan. If you find yourself doing anything during the day other than working on generating a qualified lead or closing a loan, I suggest just stop what you're doing immediately and go back to working on those too. That's a tough one, especially with all of the distractions and all of the interruptions that we get every day. It's a difficult one. But if you can just find a way to limit the time that you spent with the people that take away from your business and maximize the time with the people that can add to your business, we at least have a shot. Lastly on this, I find lately, and I say lately, the last couple of years, people start too much. Does that make sense? People that I speak, they start too much and they finish too little. Does that make sense? That's like asking you to write down only the things that you're going to act on versus ideas. We just start too much, all right? I use a form, and maybe you can appreciate this. I've got certain things that I'm engaged in building my business every day. It's called I'm going to do it now, gonna do it now, and these are the things I'm engaged in at any given point. The form has another whole section of the form called gonna do it later. These are things that I'm not going to kid myself. And maybe even out of the call today, you may get struck with something in a minute. You go, you're not going to look into that, but not today. I got to stay focused on this, but I'm going to write that down because I don't want to forget it. That's called gonna do it later. And then the third column on mine says, never going to do it. There's certain things that I just got to write over there and go, what are you doing? You are not going to do that. Why do you keep thinking you are? Just get it off your plate. Focus on those things that you absolutely are engaged in today that can grow your business. All right, enough of that. Targeted passive and active lead generation systems. And I think one of the things that I talked about on that flyer was turning renters into buyers. Now, another one. Not a new one. I didn't say we should all go market to renters. I didn't say that. I said I got to find a way to turn the renter into a buyer today to help predict my pipeline. Got to be pretty good on that one. And I think that is where we go from lead generation to lead conversion. I got to be better at that. A couple of ideas. I took renters yesterday, asked how many of them had a listing that was geared for a first-time home buyer. Well, what would that be? I don't know, $195,000 to $200,000 in that range. And there was plenty, by the way. Listed inventory is not short. A lot of them had listings. And my question was, how are you proactively marketing that listing to first-time homebuyer candidates? Well, we run an ad in this magazine. That's called advertising. Big deal. How do you specifically go after offensively to those that go? Anyway, the short answer was, it's been proven, and I don't know by who, and take it with a grain of salt, but that people, when they move, generally move within about 11 miles of where they currently live for one reason or another, whether it's schools or they like the area, what have you. So I told the realtor, I said, here's an idea. You know, why don't you get together with your title company, get a list of the absentee owners that are within 11 miles of your listing that are living in a single family residence, and go full court press and target market that group with your listing. Now, I didn't say that very well. It's getting with the title company for the leads of absentee owners. That means if I have an absentee owner within 11 miles of this listing, there's somebody there running a house. And I would, I even started with them. Well, what do we do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I mean, let's say you came up with, I don't know, six people. Now, I'm not going to say 60. Maybe you got six, five. For five, I'd go knock on their door if I was them. But, you know, that's a little too low tech, you know. But the key is we've got to go full court press and start with that. So renters that are around their listings. Now, what does that mean for you and me? That means I could have a great conversation with a realtor today, letting him know again that I can be a resource to his business. By the way, I could take one of those magazines. Think about this. I pick one up at the grocery store, open that magazine, and every listing I see in there that's 190, 200,000, I could call that realtor and start off a conversation. Does that make sense? Just with that one, and by the way, that's not gonna turn your world around. Does that make sense? But it's proactive, it's offense, it's something that I can do that's active marketing for that. Renters and buyers, I suggest you set up a first-time home buyer website. How come? Because it's free. Why wouldn't you do it? Create a first. Now, by the way, if you don't want to work first-time home buyers, you wouldn't do this. But then I would say, why don't you? Are you kidding? 80% of all FHA loans today are first-time home buyers. I know that FHA only is capturing 30% of market share, but that's a big piece of business. Why do I like them? They don't have anything to sell. Why do I like them? Because I've got attention. Anyway, so create a website. If you're going to tell me, Bill, I'm going to specialize in first-time home buyers. Really? What's your website? Specific for first-time home buyers. And again, it's free. It's like $6 a month to host it. But think about this. Now, if you have it set up, and this is low cost, number one. And by the way, it's just there's a number of these, but Alamo.com is one that you can set up for free. And once you set it up, okay, now what do I do? Here you go. First of all, you got to get people to go to your store. Isn't that all a website is? It's just a store. You need to get them to go to your store. That's called what? That's called marketing. No, advertising. No, marketing. Get them to go to your store first, and then use some of the things that we've already talked about. How about an audio welcome? Hi, thanks for visiting my first-time home buyer website. It's an exciting day in the market, or whatever. A nice audio welcome. Again, they came to your store. That wouldn't be a bad thing. Audio welcome. Before you leave, please be sure to click and get your free report on, I don't know, what do you want to have a free report on? I mean, come on, you could make a free report on the tax credit. You could make a free report on, I know Josh has one from last time. Now is the time to buy. But the key is get them to take action. Make sure you click here on our mortgage protection program. Well, why not? They're in your store. How about a list of homes available? Where am I going to get those? From your agents. Do you see how we're building on that call to that agent? I see you have a home that's priced in the range of a first-time home buyer. I'd like to get together with you because I have a couple of marketing ideas I'd like to share with you. I'd like to put your home on my first-time home buyer website. I have a list of homes there. It could be for sale by owner. But the key is all this, again, is going to be passive marketing once it's done, and it's very easy to do. How to increase your credit score. Click here for your free report. I mean, come on, FICO.com. They already have free reports. So I think that it's another thing, first-time home, turning a renter into a buyer. I think we've got to get them, show them that you're the expert. Why don't you write a free ebook on that site? How come? Because it's free. You can write one in 20 minutes. Are you kidding me? Click here for your free copy of your ebook. You know how it works, and we've all done that. But it's very easy to do that. The last thing I'm going to show and talk to my realtor about, again, back to first-time home buyer candidates and prospective listings, is reminding the realtor that the average age of the first-time home buyer today is 30 years old. They're between 28 and 34. A 30-year-old, we market too different than I would be marketing to somebody for a reverse mortgage. Does that make sense? That's why, again, we're utilizing things like text marketing with that realtor for first-time homebuyer listings. By the way, if you haven't checked that out, check it out. It's called textingtosell.com. Texting to the number and then sell.com. It's so inexpensive. But again, I can talk to the realtor coming from the expert position. I want to show you some ideas on how we can work together to help get more traffic to that listing by being proactive and using some of these things that we've already talked about. Some of those you're going to be incubating those leads for the future. Some you'll have an opportunity to create urgency, and think about that, creating urgency. I think we have a number of ways to do that. With the imminent changes that are coming up, the ones that have already been made with FHA reform, we've got an increase in upfront premiums. We've got annual mortgage insurance that's going to go up very shortly. The one thing that probably won't go up, I would use this a little to create maybe urgency, but it looks like the down payment is going to remain at 3.5%. Again, only coming from the commissioner. It doesn't look like they're going to change that. The annual mortgage insurance they might, because that is a income generator for them. So, again, take a look at this. Why wouldn't you put on Jenny May's rent-to-own calculator right on that little free website? Does that make sense? Go to jennymay.gov. Of all of them, and I've seen enough, you know, free calculators, this is a pretty easy one to see. It's just called rent-to-own calculator. It's great. It's on jennymay.gov. What a great thing to share, again, with your realtor. You have a lot that you can bring to the table for them, and again, turning renters into buyers is a proactive move, and I think we've got to take a look at some of these things that we have available and pay attention to those that we know that we can get ourselves engaged in. Speaking for profit, I'm still looking at ways to generate more income streams. Does that make sense? I need more streams of income today, where 2 years ago I said have less. Today I need more passive, active. I can't afford not to. So speaking for profit for me is another one today I think that all of us can take advantage of, become the expert. And I think you do that in a number of ways. It's your positioning. It's some of the things that you do. Why don't you write a book? Come on. You want to be the expert? I'm going to give you a clue here, because some of you are going, I couldn't write a book if I had to. Well, take a look at lulu.com, and it's lulu.com. In 2 weeks, you could have your own book. Now, think of the credibility that you bring to your speaking opportunities by being the author of your own book. By the way, I'm telling you, educational marketing, number one, but with credibility. Where do you pick a topic? Write your own little book in 2 weeks. I'm telling you, it's not that difficult. If you don't want to do it, let me know. I'll do it for you. I'll charge you a little bit. I'll write the book for you. I'll put you down as the author. And that's another whole subject. But the key is I believe in it deeply. Now, if you don't want to write a book, the next thing that we're doing, and I'm telling you, with very high levels of success, and again, these are low cost, high return, creating your own radio talk show. Why not? Why don't you get together with your realtor and say, hey, I want to create a radio talk show, and I want you to be a guest on my show. And again, this is, again, for today's market. Confusion. Remember our broadening competition. consumer confusion. You don't think you could start a talk show? Now, this is a longer conversation. I'm going to give you two quick ideas, but I really am experiencing great results. Broker talk, featuring, sponsored by your own radio talk show. It's amazing. Technology, it's just nuts. But blogtalkradio.com. It's free, first of all. And if you could set that up for free, wouldn't be a bad thing to have once a month your own radio talk show. I do it. I have guest speakers. We have, and again, I'm looking to broaden my audience as well. Now, using that, consider that. Let's see how to say this. You know, I could go to a realtor. I'm going to show you how to use also if you want to go talk radio. How about webinars? Why wouldn't you want to use today with all the technology, creating webinars? That's not a new idea. If you're going, yeah, duh, that's not new. I know, but just consider this. If I wanted 300, if I wanted to attract 300 prospects, one way I could do it is go meet 300 people. And every day I meet them or close a loan with one, I put them in my database, and oh, sooner or later I'll have 300 contacts. Or, comma, I could find three agents, realtors, that have 100 closed clients and pick up my 300 that way. Now, the short version of that is we're going to realtors' websites. Pick them. I don't care. Go into that real estate magazine again you pick up. And there's a lot of realtors have their own free report. Put in your email, here's your free report. We go in there, we get the free report. I like the free report. It's pretty good. I mean, come on. I'm giving you as many free reports as you'll ever need just by the through Josh Millar. But I get their free report. Now, think of this. I just call the realtor. Hi, I got a copy of your free report. It's really good. I'm having a webinar. I'd like to have you as a guest speaker. Would you be willing to be a guest speaker? I'll just ask questions right from your report. You can answer the questions. And would you be willing to be a guest on my webinar? I mean, come on, this is too good. If they say, well, that would be great. Well, here's all I'd ask from you. Would you invite your clients to come in and listen to you on the webinar? And now dream that up. If my realtor that I said is coming on to my webinar, they invite their clients. All I've got to do is use my autoresponders, get all their email. Anyway, it's an opt-in. That list just grew dramatically. I have a realtor that's looking at me going, that's pretty good. I never, you know, how do you do that? Anyway, so again, that's all speaking for profit. Your radio show, your book, giving you more opportunities, your webinars with your realtors, and I think it starts with deciding which one of those match your style. Not, again, here's a bunch of ideas. Write a book, start a radio show, how about a webinar? It's finding the one that matches your style and your personality, let's put it that way. Getting a realtor on your webinar, I'm telling you, is really easy. They have a little thing called ego, and that's good. That's a good thing. We all do. If we didn't have ego, we wouldn't be doing this. But again, it's bigger than that. It's how to increase your opt-in database for continued marketing in the future. More leads from your unpaid staff, not much to say there. Maybe think of that same webinar strategy with one of your referral partners. And I say unpaid staff, I don't know what you call it, your non-commissioned sales team, those people that are out cheering you on every day. You could go to your insurance agent, somebody you know, and say, hey, I'm having a webinar. I'd love to have an insurance agent. Would you take part? And anyway, you get the concept. It's the same concept, except he has access to people that are renting. I'm always looking for the people that can help grow my business. So again, I can use webinar, teleseminar, but the key was I need more leads than I can generate myself. Marketing and advertising cost me too much money. I've got to find ways to create some passive marketing at the right price that can keep me moving, and that also means really working hard with your, and I want the unpaid staff, your referral sources, finding a way to engage your referral sources in working together with you as well. And I guess the ultimate aftercare program, you know, for me, it starts with regular contact. That's it. It's so much today is being avoided with respect to working a systematic after the closed care program that it's opening up too much opportunity for your competition. Oh, that was a weird way to say that. Let's say it this way. Everybody is going after your database. You say, well, they can't get my database. Yeah, they do. Every time they walk into a bank, a coffee shop, or a restaurant and meet somebody that's in the mortgage business, you know they're going after them. So I think we have to be very, very intimately involved and on a regular basis with our closed clients. I do believe it's not – you don't deserve their referrals, by the way. It's a weird thing to say, but the other day somebody said to me, I'm coaching somebody, and they said, well, I lost something, but he lost – a refinance. They went to another lender, or I forget where they went, and he was ticked off because he told me he did a great job for that closed client. We closed on time. I deserve the referrals. I don't know why they went somewhere else. And I said, first of all, you don't deserve anything. You don't get what you deserve in life. You only get what you earn. You only get what you act on. So the key was, the question was more about how did you let them get away. Does that make sense? They see, if you don't have that regular contact, I've found most of the time they just quietly disappear. Does that make sense? They don't call you and say, hey, by the way, you never called me, so I'm going somewhere else for a loan. They don't do that. We don't even know. They just all of a sudden they're gone. So I think it starts with that. I want you to start to at least consider to shift your thinking from a transactional business to a residual business. Now, transactional business is sort of the flavor of the day today. I don't care if it's with a realtor or if it's with a loan originator. We're looking for that transaction. We need to throw it in there. We have less of them. I got to find another transaction. I got to get this one closed. We're very transactional oriented today. Not all of you, I got it, but we're very much into building our business on today activity. I got to go get a deal today. Now, I suggest we've got to shift that thinking to more of a residual business. It will create predictable cash flow and closings, and that'll come from more qualified, warm referrals, I say. Now, regular contact. Often I get an email or a question, how often should I contact my closed clients? Until they take out a restraining order against you, okay? Now, not really. But I've heard people, well, I don't want to bother them too much. No, why don't you not bother them and really become a great resource to your closed clients? Does that make sense? It's like, what, bother them? Come on. Bother them is just sending out some spam email every month to them. So I think that, again, how often for me, it depends on what method you use. And I think today, with the social media and all that's going on, and I'm sure glad that Josh is working on putting this together, because for some like me, I'd love to have the opportunity to be engaged in all that. I just don't really know where to start. So I think that there's all the ways that we can set our business up to make sure that we're opening up to every opportunity for a contact. Well, not only it could be a referral source, but as well as our closed clients. Now, I said again, this is your non-commissioned sales team. Every day, if you have one person in your database or 1,000, they should be thinking of you every time somebody says, "We're considering moving." Your name should pop into their head. I mean, that's what we're all trying for, I guess. That's creating, I guess that's your personal brand that you've really got laid out there so that they're cheering you on. If they're not, they've already forgot about you. So this is what I call relationship-based marketing. Again, it's the ultimate aftercare program. It's generating that because, for me, those are your best prospects. People are always saying, what do you think the best lead is today? Is it an internet lead? Is it this lead, that lead? There's only one perfect lead today. There's one best prospect. And that's one that you've already closed. That's a closed client. So I think that's our best prospect. Now, I say we have to touch them in several ways because of all that's available today. It could be a personal phone call, a personal phone call, I can only make so many. I mean, again, if you've got one person in your database, I guess you could call them every day. If you have 1,000 or 300, that's more difficult. But I think there's still something about the personal touch. If you're wondering when would be a good time to call them, if you were, for me, it's always on the anniversary of their loan. Number one, the anniversary of the closing on their home or their loan is a great time to call people. Hey, it's been a year. Can you imagine? Boy, time flies. How you guys doing? Haven't talked for a while. And anyway, so that could be one. Could be a call this time of year. Well, I guess it's almost over. People setting their appointments for their taxes to be done. They're probably looking for their HUD 1 closing statement. So anyway, personal call is one way. A mailed out newsletter for me, I'm too cheap. I've got 10,000 in my database. I'm not going to do it. That's just me, by the way. If you use a newsletter or an outsource service that sends a newsletter, mails to their house, I'm all in. I didn't say I didn't like it. Just for me, for my originators, it became too expensive. But another way, see, that's another medium to use. It's called the regular mail. And if you're licking stamps and doing that, and you're getting a return, I'm all in. If you're not, then all you're getting is stamp breath, okay, if you're not getting a return on that. I like the e-newsletter. I think Josh even mentioned that. I like e-newsletters. Why? I'm cheap. I could send 5 or 5 million. It's the same price, first of all. So I do like the concept. I also like including my realtor partner in co-marketing through e-newsletters. And if you don't have an email address for your closed clients, that might be an action item today. Take the next 30 days and make a phone call and ask them if they'd like to be included in your monthly e-newsletter. You'll be sending it out, and I found most people say yes just because they don't think you're going to do it. So, but again, I think it's a great way to do that. There's great ways to keep that in front of people. Now, I also suggest, so now we've got mailing, we've got an e-newsletter, we've got a personal call. Once a year is probably enough for a personal phone call. I'd rather take those personal calls every day and call 5 to 10 referral sources. Does that make sense? I'd spend that time using the phone that way. So now we've got personal calls. And then we also blend in using voice broadcast. And voice broadcast is another way that your closed clients can actually hear your voice. And for some of them, that's all they need. See, I don't really need to talk to all my closed clients. I mean, think about it. There's some people I'm sure that you're going, I don't even want to talk to them, all right? They're going to tell me about their pets. And anyway, so it's not that I need to speak to them. They need to hear my voice. So that's where voice broadcast, I think, is so important today. It's absolutely cost effective. I can't do anything pretty much for 12 cents. I mean, the service that I use, it's 12 cents for the message that gets left. I leave a message on their machine. I don't leave a message when somebody actually answers. The service I use has voice recognition. So just think about that. What could you say? And again, this is the easiest. I mean, it's simple. In 10 minutes, you can put together a list of phone numbers, pick up your phone, and make a message. Hi, guys. Sorry I missed you. Just wanted to call and let you know the market's incredible. And not only that, but interest rates once again drop below 4.75%. If you've got any inclination of refinancing or know anybody that has, you give me a call back. Things are great. Sometimes that's all I need. And by the way, if that goes out, it's an opportunity for inbound marketing again. So just a message. Sorry I missed you. Things are great. Market's incredible. I was thinking of you, and I thought I'd give a call. Hope you think of me if you know of anybody buying real estate, selling real estate, or thinking of refinancing. That's it. Have a great day, guys. Just that. And again, if you call 5 people and I call 5,000 a day, I'm going to get more in response. I'll get more in return. It's just numbers. We're using our voice broadcast system with our realtor partners. calling expired listings. I know every realtor will tell me, they always do, boy, I got to call more expireds. And I say, well, how many can you call a day? I call about three, and I just get frustrated, and that's it. Well, why don't we call 1,000 and see what happens? Does that make sense? See, now that is an exchange for, obviously, commitment. Again, you're the resource. I've already talked to them about so many other ways that I can help them grow their business just from everything we've already talked about. Why not that? Just sent out a voice broadcast from a mortgage originator to his closed clients that said he just updated his list on what all their neighbors have sold their home for. If you'd like a copy of that list, just give me a call. I'd be happy to share it with you. Come on. That's a good one. That's the one thing everybody's interested in today. God, I wonder what's going on in our neighborhood. Just that. And by the way, it could also be part of your website. It's called Tell Me What My Neighbor Sold His Home For. It's a great one, by the way. Click here, put it in your name, your email, and we'll shoot you the list. Where do I get that list? Get it from my title company again. Get it from my title person, my title partner. So it's easy to get. I don't have to go on any of the website. I can just find that. But the key is I just want a response. So with the Ultimate After Care Program, and it sounds so after closed care program, it sounds so formal. Just remember, it's just regular contact, however you want to do it. For some of you today, you're trying to build that database. You're trying to build it. For some of you, you have it built, and you're trying to find ways to use that as a continuation of business for yourself and helping in the predictability and forecasting of future business. For those that are starting to build it and want to accelerate building it, remember, you have that opportunity with your realtor and them inviting their clients onto either your radio show or your webinar. Those are pretty technical, by the way. Do you get what I'm talking about? Writing a book, how about a radio show, webinar with your realtor as a guest? Those things for me are just business cards on steroids. That's all. Do you think if you write a little book, you're not going to make any money on that? It gives you the opportunity speaking for profit. And where does the profit come from? A speaking fee? No. It comes from an opportunity to generate more business for yourself and to keep that business going on an ongoing basis. So enough of that, but just if there's anything you got out of that part of it, it's just regular contact. Now you figure out how to do it. The broadcast service I use, it's not on my – I don't get anything out of this. I just pay them money. It's called voiceshot.com. How come that one? I don't know. It's easy, and it's only costs 12 cents for every message that gets left. If a human answers, if it's the wrong number or it's busy, I don't get charged. So, again, back to finding ways to build my business without spending a lot of money. I've heard too many speakers lately say, boy, you've really got to spend some money today to get things going. I don't believe it. We have enough issues today. True? I got people attacking our commission structure. I've got originator compensation on the Federal Reserve's desk every single day. And by the way, that doesn't take an act of law. That doesn't take a bill to pass. That just got some yo-yo going. You know what? Let's regulate loan originators' income. I got the SAFE Act coming at me. I got to pass these tests. I've got yield spread elimination conversations every day. I got FHA reform. I've got risk requirements that are going to change. I mean, we got enough going on that can begin to dilute our attention from those things that can create business. So I hope those things get taken care of. And by the way, the conversation lately of the funding source you use, your lender, your investor, whoever you use, being the one that will create net worth requirements for you to do business as an FHA instead of a double eagle. Stevens, commissioner, yesterday there was a question, should I get my audit done? From an owner, it's $4,000 or $5,000, and they're bantering back and forth. He said, hold off on doing your financial audits until you see the new rule. What does that sound like? I'm not putting much into that, except why would he say that? So anyway, we got enough going on that can take my attention away. I think that in summary, it's more passive poles in the water. Maybe that's a way to say it. I need more poles in the water that don't cost a lot of money, that are passive marketing, so I can go out and do the things I need to do every day, and that's to see more people. What's the one thing you could do this week to make your business stronger, more enjoyable, and more profitable? If you come up with one idea based on today, thank Josh, not me. He put this together. I think that the key of that is just then just do it. And maybe it's changing just do it to just did it, or putting it on your gonna do it now list rather than gonna do it later list, finding a way to do that. Start becoming less predictable. Maybe that's a way I'll end. We become too predictable in our daily activities. If we can become less predictable, that may translate into new activities, new opportunities, and the possibility of being able to, from strength, predicting our future income with certainty. With that, it's been an honor. I appreciate you listening. Thanks for that. If any of the reports I mentioned, if it makes any sense, if you'd like to use them, and you will now, then you let Josh know, and he'll be able to share that with you. And until next time, make yourself a productive and a great day. Josh, back to you.
Bill, thank you. Terrific information. Thanks to everyone for dialing in today. Remember, we're the IBIS Group. To meet productive realtors in your local market, visit www.theibisnet.com. And until our new website is finished, for more information on our networking suite, send an email to networkingsuite, S-U-I-T-E, at theibisnet.com. Thanks again for calling in.